half hour, and it's a big hour indeed. Bob Murphy in the studio with his guitar, so he's not too far away. And then Andrew Gaze is going to join us, and we'll talk about the upcoming final series that the Sydney Kings have got with Melbourne United, but also the fact that this is his last campaign as a coach of the Sydney Kings.
That's right, and you're not... I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Okay, but are you completely satisfied that he stood down from the role? Because you pointed to the fact that he was asked whether or not he wanted to
I drove in this morning at 4:15. They replayed his press conference, and he said that they said to him, you have to reapply.
Oh, God, this is going to have a controversial edge to
this. I don't think it will. Hey, Adam Treloar was on with us just before 8 o'clock, and I tell you what, the response to that young man has been overwhelming. Treloar, a lock for future captain. It's great hearing a player speak without giving us the boring robotic answers. He speaks well. What a brilliant attitude. No pretentiousness or sulking over positions at the pie. So, very well received. You can give us some feedback. 0433 98 11 16, 1-300-736-736 if you're the call of the week. You could win a brand new Toyota Hilux SR5, 5-year warranty on all new vehicles. Search Toyota Warranty Advantage. Bob Murphy, good morning.
Hello, Gaz. G'day, Wisp.
G'day, Bob. How are you today?
I'm good. My energy's up since Adam Treloar got on the line. He was good, wasn't he?
He was like a little sort of Alka-Seltzer.
He's always like that. He's like an energised bunny, he is.
He is.
And you know the great thing is...
He plays like it.
He plays like that. But also, I reckon he'd be one of those guys who'd be prepared. The coach says, this is what we're going to do. I reckon he buys in straight away. Yep. He said, yep, if that means that we are going to be a better team, I'm all for it.
He'd be running through the wall.
Just like you would have been in your heyday.
No, just I'd wait and see if someone else could. Wait and see.
Are we going to talk about what happens in meetings and stuff like
locker
that?
Rooms, locker rooms. Classrooms.
Both at Clubland and Medialand. But before we do, I want to get your thoughts on this. Right? Grant Thomas spoke to us out of 7 o'clock. He's got a podcast. It's called Sam, Mike and Tomo. You want to have a listen to it? It's very different and it's entertaining. But he was talked about a subject that will continue to always be of interest, and that's the illicit and illegal drug use amongst players. I use recreational to differentiate between them and performance enhancing. Have a listen to this. I want to get your thoughts on it, Bob.
This is how stupid I am. I would have had suspicion, maybe one or maybe two.
How naive are you?
Hang on. You asked the question. But you know what? The worst thing is no longer than a week or so after I finish, one of the players, he told me what had actually been going on, which basically devastated me.
Which is what?
That
quite a significant number.
Rife. That rife. A lot of them. And some of the
more than half?
Some of the players that were mentioned could have dropped.
We're talking your players here.
Yes.
And he's talking recreational drug use amongst the 2006 playing list for St Kilda. I said, do you think any of those players will get, you know, the brace and bits with you? He said, well, if it's not them, why should they worry about it? If it is them, then all I'm saying is talking the truth.
Yeah, it's always, I mean, it's great for publicity for a podcast because it's always as... topic it gets a reaction, and when you use language like rife, but I just think it's a little bit dangerous when you're talking about, because it's, I mean, he's had a conversation with one player, but there is still conjecture and rumour, and by nature these things, that sort of culture is a subculture. So there's a lot of secrecy around it. So there's always hearsay and rumour. So I think I don't like to sort of jump in and say use words like rife, but rumours circulate, of course, all the time.
He was oblivious, he said, as a coach. Could you be oblivious as a captain? And in the age demographic that you were in your last few years at your footy club, would you be across everything that was going on maybe outside of the playing arena?
Oh, I think I'd have to acknowledge that you couldn't be across everything.
No.
And I think that's... Because that's the demographic of footy clubs is...
Yeah.
Not to lump young kids into it, like, I'll blame the kids with it. But when you get to the end, mid-30s with three kids, like, the language the jokes are different.
Yeah.
I didn't understand what they were talking about half the time. So, like, lifestyles are different, times you keep, so... And these things change, like the turnover of players is so different every year in the movement. So to say that playing culture or that group, because it's fluid, it changes, and those little subcultures, they move with the times as well.
So your experience would be then that you couldn't agree necessarily with Grant Thomas or, you know, like the perception that there's a greater percentage of players participating in recreational drug use.
I'm not naive to the fact that it's an issue, but I think I'm not game enough to put a label on it of it was that then or it's this now, because I just don't know.
Hmm. No, fair enough. You don't know. That was his experience.
Yeah. You know, it goes to the heart. You know, this whole conversation around, you know, where Ben Cousins has ended up and the whole West Coast Eagles and what was going on at that time with the drug recreational use. And, you know, there's been a lot of people post that period of time say, oh, you know, the West Coast Eagles, they just swept it under the carpet. I'm talking about the coaching staff and the other people. They may have heard stuff, but they may have gone to the players, which I believe they probably did, and said, oh, like, you know, this is what we're hearing. What do you? And they said, no, that's not going on.
I've often thought that, because I think that the Eagles, the people who were in power at that time, have become a bit of a punching bag of they were so naive and, you know, how could they let this go?
Or they just turned a blind eye.
Well, I think the whole industry was completely naive, particularly in the sort of corner of addiction. Around that time when the rumour mill again started that Ben was addicted to, I was just floored by that a league footballer could be have a problem to the point of being a drug addict. That kind of just blew my hair back. Now, 12 years later, more education, far less naive about that sort of thing. Well, that's, you know, the mental illness side of things, and I think we're all quite naive. I've got some empathy around, you know, how they would have dealt with that at the time.
This is a tough question, but do you think, and you hear people talking about this, okay, do you think there are players that are hiding behind a mental issue as opposed to a drug issue?
I'm even more reticent to jump into that because I'm not a professional in that area, so no, I'm not going to jump into that one.
And you couldn't. No one could answer that, Tim, except for...
I know it's a difficult question to answer, but it is a conversation that takes place all the time.
From uninformed and...
No, not necessarily...
The only person would know that is the person himself.
I know, there are a lot of...
herself.
There are a lot of people, though, that believe that there is...
Because they don't understand it.
There's this idea that players are hiding behind their drug use by saying, OK, I've got a mental issue.
That's right. They probably do, and that's born of ignorance, I would suggest.
Hmm.
UEFA Champions League, by the way, 53rd minute, Lyon and Barcelona 0-0, Liverpool and Bayern in the 55th minute, 0-0.
Heavy conversation. Anyway, let's get on to something more light, which is the Big Fox footy love-in last week. Well, how did you read that?
Not the love-in.
I like to call it a love-in, Gary.
No, the love-in's next week.
Oh, the love-in's next week. Okay.
Get confused.
This was the information day.
Was back to school.
Right,
back to school. But I want to talk about the classroom aspect of it in a minute, but I did want to talk to you, Gaz. So the AFL came out, Steve Hocking, and the other gentleman whose name...
David Rath.
Yes.
Yep.
Presented the new rules and with the presentation on the screen of how it would look. I really liked it. My instinctive reaction was to get excited about it.
We were all in. Everyone was there.
Yes. So it was commentators, journalists, all the Fox footy crew, the 666, the isolated wingmen.
Yep.
The signs on the side of the ground. What was your initial, in a broad sense when you look at the what's coming in? Mm. Are you fearful for what it'll do to the game, or are you more excited?
I'm interested. I'm intrigued is probably a better way. I don't know if I'm excited. It is something different, and I'll be really interested to see how it plays itself out. And we had Brad Scott today in the press saying that there's going to be blowouts. He reckons the teams that are poor are going to get opened up even more because of the fact that, you know, isolation is going to happen. And, you know, the four in the centre bounce, if you've got a dominant centre bounce clearance team and they're on top, then they're going to continue to pelt it down, and he thinks there'll be bigger blowouts.
What did your focus go to? Take the centre bounce, for instance.
Yep.
Were you looking at the key forwards chain to the goal score? Were you looking at the isolated wingman, or were you thinking around the ruck?
No, I was thinking
about the extra space in the centre square.
Defenders who have had it so easy for so long.
Couldn't help him.
So easy for so long.
You're drifting into some of your Fox footy colleague territory.
They looked around at it and went, 8-on-6, I like those odds because they had two off the back of the square. Now these blokes are going to go, I've got to earn my keep.
So of the defenders, so of the top line defenders, who are you thinking it will affect? Are you thinking it will affect negatively the McGovern, Alex Rance style, or Rory Laird?
Well, there's a school of thought that could also suggest that those blokes become even more important because the being able to judge when to come off, where to position yourself.
So they can still do it despite the numbers.
So that the interceptors, if what we're talking about, it's been relatively easy because they've had no, and I'll say this seriously without the other fun that we have, but their job has been to not so much worry about any man. They could go and do what they want. Now it's the skill of being able to go, my opponent, I've got accountability for him, but he's not dangerous. Now I'll go and play 20 metres inside him and try and intercept. That then becomes a skill that's going to be absolutely cherished.
Which is one of the things that clubs do in my time. That towards the end, that was what defenders were trained. That's what spent so much of their time on. You know, how do they read the cues of the kicker and where the eyes are looking? And what about the wingman?
Never thought much about.
I don't think he'd spend much time thinking about a wingman. How many under these rules and regulations? Many would a key forward like yourself and John? We had four big key forwards there, five big key forwards, six big key forwards.
A lot of key forwards.
See, they would have been licking their chops playing under these conditions, wouldn't they? Seven. You kick seven in the first half?
Most games.
Hey, what about this LED sign? This is the thing that you came and told me on Monday, which I had no understanding or idea about, and that is that you'll be able to hold up an LED sign on the sidelines because you can't send the runner out.
Yeah.
So you can then just script that.
So it's any way you like. Well, emojis was the term used the other day, wasn't it, of how can you get the quickest message out to your playing group. The thing about that, and that caused a bit of a ruckus in the Fox Footy meeting.
Who was ruckused most?
Robbo was kind of, he was ruckused.
Yeah, he was outraged.
Yeah, because we want the game to go back to players playing on instinct, but that's going to be balanced out by some tactical stuff.
Bob's going to tell us why Robbo was most outraged after this, but he being Andrew Gay, he's a great friend of SEN's and one of the stars of this station for a long time, who went off into coaching land. He's got his club on the precipice of greatness.
Done all the hard work.
Now's not the time to step aside, Gazy.
Now is the time to step
welcome.
Aside.
Welcome.
Good morning, boys. That's a lovely welcome from you two. It's greatly appreciated. But no, we've got a big challenge ahead of us. We're in the semi-finals and taking on your mob, the Melbourne United. So it's going to be a tough series for us, but we're looking forward to it.
There's going to be a lot of sledging from courtside too. Gary and I will be there for game one.
All we're going to do is look at you, Gazy.
I'd be very, very disappointed, particularly with you, Tim, if there wasn't purple and gold pom-poms in your hand the entire game and just jumping up and down and showing the support, which a good friend would normally do.
Well, we're guests of the United crew because they own our station, and we'll be seated in row two. If you can get Tim seats row one, I'm sure he'll jump ship.
Well, I'm sure. Hey, you know what? As far as where I'm at right now, he can come and coach the team if he wants. I'm happy for him to jump in the seat and just impart some of that wisdom, that very, very sharp wisdom that he gave the St Kilda Saints many years ago. Yeah. There was a period where they were hot. If we can just tap into that, we'll be fine.
Yep. Gazy, look, I don't know whether this is controversial or not, but Gary spotted this from your press conference, your media conference yesterday, and that was that you were invited to reapply for the job if you wanted to. Should we read anything into that?
No, that is 100% true. And been really open and transparent with the management and the ownership group. They've been fantastic to me. Any resource we needed to try and get the team where we find ourselves at the moment has been made available to me, and I've got great love and respect and appreciation for the way they go about it. This is absolutely the best coaching position in the NBL. So it's there's nothing there, but they came to me quite some time ago, and at that particular stage, I wasn't ready to make that step. I've been away from home a long period of time. Yep. and genuinely felt that it was time to go home and spend more time with the family. So the timing of the announcement probably is not exactly how I would have liked, but sometimes these things are taken beyond your control.
Okay, so you had a little bit of a dispute over when you should announce your retirement from the Sydney Kings?
Oh, I wouldn't say a dispute. They've been great. When we came to this resolution probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, they were really encouraging me. They thought it would be best to make the announcement then.
Right.
And I said, no, I don't believe it. So they absolutely 100% respected what I thought was in the best interest, but as we've spoken about on the wireless many, many times before, Tim, as soon as two people know something, it's no longer a secret. So these rumours were starting to get around, and I think also from the club's perspective that unfortunately the timing's never right, and they have to go out there and seek new candidates. And I think when there's always someone in the position and it's not public that we're not coming back, sometimes the ethics of that can be questioned. So also to help protect the club, it was felt that there would be a step that would really be helpful for all concerned. So it's never ideal, but I think under the circumstances, we've tried to make the best of the situation.
Completely understand. So you will be coaching during the final series. Andrew Bogut won't be organising somebody to come in and do it on his behalf.
Well, I was trying to get you on board, Timmy, but... But no, I'll be there and really looking forward to it. It's going to be, well, I haven't been in the playoffs in my short coaching tenure here with the Kings, and very, very difficult assignment against your mob, Melbourne United. It's going to be a tough one, but hopefully you are like KB and it's shown extreme loyalty to your friends and going to jump on board, both you blokes, jump on board the mighty Sydney Kings.
Well, I just need to clear a couple of things up before I jump. I can jump, but I did hear whether the doc yesterday who was trying to suggest that maybe there was some friction between you and Andrew Bogut.
Right. Hello.
This is one of the reasons why we come out. Not in the slightest.
I want to clear this up right away.
Well, there's certainly no friction coming from my behalf, and no, he's been great. In fact, I and the coaches have sought his counsel in this whole situation because he was part of my decision making when we did this 5 or 6 weeks ago. No, he's been fantastic. He's an absolute champion of the game, and I'll make no mistake about it. With his teammates, with administration, with the coaches, he challenges everyone. But that's what you want from your leaders.
My word, it is.
You want them challenge you and challenging everyone, and making sure that you give yourself the absolute very best chance for success. So. No, that's the first I've heard of that one.
I don't want to put anyone in, but Doc Turf said that last night. I said that's not right. Hey, we've got 20 seconds, Gazy. Coaching, is this it for you, or is the door still open?
No, not at all. I'm coming back to coach the mighty Melbourne Tigers in the youth league. There's one outstanding player on that particular team that's destined for greatness, and his name's Mason Gase. But I'm looking forward to it and need to get home for a little while. But once the kids get a little bit older, we move on, and hopefully this opportunity doesn't pass me by again.
We will see you on Thursday night. You'll hear us. Tim will be the one with the
Andrew Gase
purple and gold face painting.
that's it. That's what I want to see.
Andrew Gase, who's a favourite here. Good luck, Gase. Great to talk to you. People put a smile on your face, don't they? Andrew Gase is one
always
of those people. Sam, we had Sam Newman this morning. He puts a smile
always
as soon as I hear him talk. It just makes you feel good. And Bob Murphy, he comes into the studio every and he's here. Tony Mockbell, if you're interested, he's just been discharged from hospital. So back you go to the big house, Tone. But he's good. So, what? Well, surely, where else are you going? You're going to let him out, are you?
No, but they could give him a bit of a drive around the freeways or something,
sure,
couldn't
they? Not sure about that.
Give him a look around before they put him back in.
Hey, Bob's here until 9. He's going to play us a song very shortly. In fact, we're going to get to it much earlier than last week
because last week
we thought it was going to be shocking. So we thought we'd give you half a
pleasantly minute. Surprised.
That's as close to a compliment as you'll get.
Exactly. So we might do the song after this next break. But in the meantime, you played cricket. You got a gig in the cricket match.
Yeah, where were you two?
Don't start. It's one of the touchiest subjects. But anyway, how'd it go? The Matty Riewoldt Vision cricket
game. The day as a whole went magnificently. Right. Good turnout, a lot of goodwill, really good event.
Raised some good money.
Raised some big money, and, you know, people, the kids loved it. great marquees, all and beautiful day. It was couldn't ask for a better day. There was some good cricket.
Who was good?
Big Brownie. Brownie was pretty good.
Thinks he's quick.
Yeah. Poor old Nick, our SEN's newest recruit.
Yeah.
He played pretty well, Nick. He batted pretty well, and he bowls sort of tight. He sort of left arm pace, but he did come in. I'll take the last over, you know, because it got tight towards the end.
15 off the last over. Yeah.
Not a nice spot to be. David Hussey just started playing golf shots. But the height, I got to say, the height. This will appeal to you, Wiz. So you know, so you throw a whole heap of people together, some cricketers, footballers, personalities, comedians. And I hadn't really had much to do with Paul Salmon, but what a gentleman Paul Salmon is. And genuinely funny. He was kind of my highlight for the day.
How long were you with him? It wears thin off.
But he was quite nervous about the cricket itself. And in the last over, he was out there with Dave Hussey, and you could see he started with a French cut, and it all sort of it looked very jittery. And it's funny when a 6'10" man is jittery, and then it sort of knocked his pad, and he took off for a quick single, and he tore the big quad muscle.
Oh.
So as David Hussey sort of hit the winning runs, Paul Salmon came and goes, "It's great that we won, but I'm actually in excruciating pain right now."
Hey, with all these all-star games, which we had the basketball with this, with the EJ Witten game, whatever it is, there's always one.
There's always one
that just tries the touch harder. Who was it?
Who tried a bit?
Brownie. It would have been.
Well, Brownie was. He was bowling proper short balls, like real bouncers. I thought there was sort of a gentleman's agreement that there'd be none of that. So he was sort of bending.
Doesn't surprise me. Yeah, we're going to take a break because we've got lots to get through before 9 o'clock. And then, so good luck, Bob. This is a text message. You set the bar pretty high last week, and although often the sophomore album brings you back to earth.
Oh, that's, yeah, it is. It's the difficult second album.
This is the highest praise I can give you, Bob. Okay, it was so good. It would have made one of the 12 tracks on my footy album that I put out back in the 80s.
Do you know what? I should have texted you. The boys who are working on my deck over summer, they're all musos, and they're all obsessed with that album. And they told me that yours was the best performance. Was it Michael Moncrief?
Yes.
Horrific.
Robbie Flower, Macho Man, he sang.
Hey, what we might do is get Bob to review that next week as part of his deal. Hey, if you're the call of the week, you can win a brand new Toyota Hilux SR5, 5-year warranty, all new vehicles, so Toyota Warranty Advantage. But just now, sit back. Relax. And Bob's looking for a new guitar too, by the way, because he blamed his guitar. We thought it wasn't tuned last week.
Liked an upgrade. Now, this song was called Getting Jigger With It, but it's had legal, so now it's called Horse Racing, What's Going On.
Good.
You ready, Wisp?
Liking it already.
Hundreds of years and horse racing is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope. A credible destination. I realised quickly when I knew the racing world was made up of these colourful racing men. Whatever that means. And so I cry sometimes when placing a bet just to get it all out, what was in Weary's head. And I am thinking this is more than a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and a big old sigh, and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on? And I say, nay, 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 nay. I said, nay, what's going on? And I really say, hey, yay, 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 yay. Hey, yay, yay. I said, hey, horse racing, what's going on?
Did degree of difficulty there has gone up a notch. I am not a music man, but that was very, very good. A couple of times I thought he was gone.
The
range,
the range in his voice.
Got a bit of range, hadn't he?
Yeah. I thought a little bit of Neil Young there from Big Mick out there.
I was waiting to see where I could get in, like last week. But
no.
There's just no opening for Gary. Couldn't get a look in.
There was no do-ups there today.
Hey, very good. Yeah. Very good. Give us your feedback, please. Immediate feedback is what we want. 0433 98 11 16.
Will that be on the album, Bob?
Could be.
Hey, Nate, this is the first bit that's come through. You want it?
Go for it.
Need to bring the guitar up in the mix just a little bit.
Yeah,
okay. Might have been down a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Up the budget.
We love feedback. Bob loves it. He can only get better with feedback. So I'm going to take an early break.
Yes.
We're going to get all the feedback out that we can, and then we're going to do 5 for 30 search style before you dig always as we head towards 9 o'clock.